Plum Love Foods Live, serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard salsa, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me talk to you for a minute, Jeffy. Good evening. How are you here on a happy Thursday in January, or is it February? I don't remember. Which one is it?
I believe we are into February.
Out of February, yeah.
Six days into February, yeah.
Coming up on a big Valentine's Day next weekend. Jeffy, is Valentine's big in your family?
Oh, man, Valentine's Day is huge in my family. I'm surrounded by women. They all love me.
Well, that's all that matters, right?
Exactly.
Is your wife aware of these women or not yet?
She is one of those women. Thank you. And I have two daughters. And Valentine's Day, yeah, it's special, man. We make cards. I think we're actually having a big Valentine's Day party at the house. My daughter invited a lot of her friends.
What?
We're having a little dance. Yeah, we homeschool, so you know how we do. We do the homeschool groups, and we have everybody over. We hang out, you know.
A Valentine's party?
Yeah, you know how Pearl is. She's full of love, my little Pearlie.
Yeah, but here's what I don't get. I mean, honestly... Is there a holiday you don't have parties for?
Listen, man, I'm always looking for an excuse to drink, excuse to party, excuse to livate, you know, get people happy.
I'm a happy man. And I'm with you. I do the same thing, except for mine. My excuse is it's Thursday.
That's a great excuse, man. Thursday parties are the best parties, you know, especially at Plum's House.
Ain't no party like a Plum's House party, because a Plum's House party don't stop.
Yeah.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, guys. It's your boy Chef Plum. Chef Jeff coming off a very, very long day, but it's a lot of fun. An Elite Chef shooting was happening today. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. This episode, I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's Redemption Kitchen.
I can't wait.
Jeffy was not part of the episode because we had a brand new clean slate of judges, Jeff.
Oh, it was a great idea. I was happy to bow out to the judges who stepped up. They're awesome people, so it's going to be a great episode. I'm excited.
I got to do a big shout-out to Scott Kluger, the head baker of Hartford Baking Company, coming in and bringing some amazing bread and doing a great job. Also, of
Hell
course,
yeah.
Got a shout-out, another good brother. We're going to have him on the show for sure. Matt Storch, his restaurant Match has been in Sonar for 20 years. Came in, multi-time Food Network winner, just a really good brother, man. Really enjoyed hanging out with
him. Hell yeah, man. Kitchen vet, 20 years in a restaurant, man. That says something about a man.
No doubt. And he's a good brother, man. He's got kids. He had to be gone by 5 today because he had to get to his kids' orchestra concert. He was like, listen, I've missed so much of their life growing up. I'm at a point now where I can go, so I'm going to be there. And I really appreciated that. I was like, dude, I totally get it, you know?
Beautiful, man. I love that.
And, of course, our good friend... Psychic medium Patty Griffin was our other judge today, and let me tell you something, you guys. You got to watch this episode because Patty does some pretty insane shit in the beginning of the episode. You got to see it. I can't wait for you too. It's coming out next Friday, so get there. You'll see. It's going to be awesome. Jeffy, you missed a good one today, buddy.
I didn't miss it because I'm looking forward to see it. You know, I'm looking forward to tuning on the Facebook, see it. On Friday morning, get real excited to watch it like everybody else. It's gonna, I'm actually get to experience the full experience, and I'm pumped, man. It's gonna be good.
It's great, man. And listen, here's the thing. I want to thank everybody who's checked the show out too, man. This is local content we're doing here in Connecticut. But literally, in the past 4 episodes that have come out, we've already reached cumulatively over 100,000 views on this content. I mean, where else can you get that? in an advertising.
That's amazing.
Where do you get that? Where can you get them in the eyes on the product? I mean, I can't give enough credit to the Eli's Restaurant Group for being so forward-thinking to do something like this. And they're definitely seeing the rewards. We were talking to our guest, G, the Weinslinger, a minute ago before we went live, and he was pointing it out, too. He's like, you can't get that anywhere, you know? It's
absolutely.
It's fantastic. I mean, just to have guys reaching out from all over the country, too. Panini Pete telling how great it is. Our buddy, good brother Stretch, reaching out and saying, wow, what a smart idea.
Dude.
It's just cool to see, man.
It's super smart. And the fact that we can target our audience and we know exactly who's going to see it. This is going across people who are foodies, people who are going to go out to eat and are going to go check out this food. It's going and it's people in Connecticut, you know.
Totally.
It's not just and that's awesome. I mean, you and it's spreading like wildfire by word of mouth, thanks to everyone out there who's just sharing it and telling other people about it, and we're getting like so many awesome comments on all of our pages, like just like really awesome support and people just really loving it and loving all the contestants. I just think it's such a cool thing to be part of.
There's been a lot of Jeffy fans out there too, which I'm kind of upset about.
Yeah, you shouldn't be upset. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to say.
Wow.
I mean,
it's your first like foray into being a main character on TV. Now listen, I know how important it was for you when you did the Food Saver vacuum sealer commercial.
Yeah, and listen, I got a lot of shouts out back then, you know. I mean, it's going back a couple of years now, but I mean, you know, they're always knocking at my door. I mean, anytime I'm ready to you know, sign off private chefing and just push Food Savers full time. I mean,
you're going to make that happen.
Go ambassador style, but you know, I love what I do, so I'm not looking to step down, but
well, I'm busting balls, of course, man. You're doing great on the show. People love you. It's funny cuz today everyone was asking where you were. And I told them that you had died from leprosy.
It's quick. It was a fast-moving leprosy. It just hit me.
I said, I feel terrible about it. I didn't let anybody know. But we had to bury him quickly because the shit was spreading. So we threw him in the ground.
That's why he was always wearing long-sleeve shirts. It was his elbows were deteriorated terribly.
Said, we're basically going to have a service for him. It's just going to be a cardigan that he used to wear. And a pair of sunglasses. It's gonna be all it's there.
But my fro, can we shave my fro and put it on the skeleton?
No, we can't do that. Let me explain to you why. Because I don't want to spread leprosy, Jeffy.
Well, can you condition it or something with lime?
It spreads with the hair. You didn't know that?
Leprosy isn't in hair.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. I'm an expert. Trust me.
Absolutely. First of all, I don't even think you could get leprosy anymore because they have things like vegetables everywhere.
I'm not going to stand here and let you besmirch the good name of leprosy as we're trying to get this radio show on the road, Jeffy. Here's the thing. You always throw it off the rails. You died of leprosy. It's a damn shame, and it's going to be a good story for you moving on.
Hey, man, if all my fans out there, you know, you want to reach out to me and let me know how beautiful I am, or
all
you know,
gotta do to donate to the Jeffy Death Fund. It's at Chef_Plum on Venmo, and
It's at Four King Chef, and if you want to Venmo me money to support me my journey into you know, more and more commercial television bits.
What? No, you're dead.
I'm not dead. I've risen again,
right,
surprisingly.
Jeffy is alive. He is risen. There we go.
Lazarus of podcasting.
Listen, we got a great show tonight, Jeff. One of our favorite guests is coming on the show. Super intelligent guy to talk to about wine, about libations, all these things we're talking about, cocktails, because you know I love cocktails, and I know, Daddy, you do too.
Absolutely.
And, our good friend.
Nobody is as passionate about this guy. I mean, every time he talks to us about anything, he gets me excited.
He does, you can
just hear it. You can feel the excitement in his voice when he's telling us about like the things that are going on in his life. And I just he's a fucking bad dude, man. Bad mofo.
Oh yeah, as Dusty Rhodes used to say, "I'm bad and they know I'm bad." Look, let me tell
this
right now. G. Patel, the Weinslinger, is going to be joining us here, talking all things wine. We got a lot of questions for him moving forward with trends and fun cocktail pairings and lots of different things. G's a great guy to talk to about these things. We're excited to have him on the program. And the good brother's been working a long day himself. He just came right in, popped his headphones in, and grabbed a cocktail, and he's ready to talk with us on the show. So got to give him credit for that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We're super thankful that he took the time out to talk to us and to spread his knowledge with us.
That's right. So, guys, We're going to jump right in here. We're going to take a little breather. Remember, tomorrow, 9 a.m., the new episode of Elite Chef comes out on Facebook. Get on there. Check it out. It's going to be a great episode. We're really excited about it. It's the one with the most twists and turns yet. The chefs hated me after this episode, Jeffy. The one tomorrow.
Yeah. It was wild because I think they hated you mostly because you look like you were going to get them the coronas.
I speak the truth. What? The coronas? What are you talking about? Oh, because I had a...
Because they were looking at you. They were really upset. Like, why is he... Why, just, don't touch me. Stop
joke,
talking to me so close.
Your joke fell apart there. You're going to give them the coronas. So... It didn't make... So I had a head cold last Thursday when we were shooting the episode. And so Jeff's insinuating that I had the coronavirus. And I was going to give it to our set contestants, which would be a terrible thing.
Well, it could have been sexually transmitted AIDS. Sexually transmitted limes.
I'll tell you what, I transmit everything. Let me tell you something else. You know what goes great? You know what goes great with coronavirus? Lyme disease. That's right, guys. I got dad jokes all day long. Check it out. You guys hang tight. We're going to play a quick commercial spot. We'll be right back with the one, the only, our good brother G, the Wine Slinger. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinsui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Right-handed knives, right-handed pants, right-handed spatulas. Ah, nothing works.
Lefties, left-handed kitchen utensil and everyday item emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
Right-handed cabros, right-handed sharpies, right-handed grills, what are all the fucks?
Lefties, left-handed kitchen utensil and everyday item emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
Right-handed doorknobs, right-handed computers, right-handed freaking backpacks. I need help!
Lefties, left-handed kitchen utensil and everyday item emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
You're still responsible.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. She didn't say they was right-handed condoms. I'm a lefty,
you
so
know
I don't think
baby.
I owe any money.
Lefties, left-handed kitchen utensil and everyday item emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
It's the right-handed agenda. Trying to keep left-handed people from doing.
Lefties, left-handed kitchen utensil and everyday item emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right. Open 3 days a week, 8 p.m. to 1:45 a.m. on the corner of 43rd and Bunny Hop, Peoria. Yeah, coming back live right here on a Thursday. Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Getting ready to throw down some cocktail wine knowledge with our good brother, the Wine Slinger, Jeffy. One of our favorite guests, man.
Dude, he's a G, literally.
Literally. Literally, the man's a G. That's what I'm talking about. I forgot how fucking funny that spot is, dude. Lefties. I haven't heard it in so long.
Dude, it's great. I haven't been there yet, but I plan on going.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like an amazing spot. Next time I'm in Peoria, I'm going to check it out, that's for sure. So check it out, guys. Listen, we all spend our lives as chefs training, and we train really hard to be the best that we possibly can. We go out there, we go to school, we work every single day, we try to get our skills better and better. Well, the same thing can be said for people who work in the wine business. Tonight, our guest, the one and only, the Wine Slinger G, has been training in this industry his entire life, even taken multi-time levels of the sommelier test. He's one of the smartest guys that I know when it comes to wine. He could actually probably teach a wine class if he really wanted to at a culinary school and like change his entire career. But thank goodness he's not. He's around to recommend amazing wine pairings and help people out. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the one and only Wine Slinger, G, what's up, brother? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How are we feeling?
Good, man. Good. You know, having a great Thursday here, finishing off the day, not having myself a nice beer that I got to tell you about and you'll make fun of me, and talking to you. So, couldn't be better. How about yourself?
I can't complain, man. Staying on the grind. You know how it is, man. It's the slowest time of the year for our space, but we still find a way to grind and never short on things to get done. So, yeah, I, like yourself, just got done with the day, came home, threw on a headset, drinking a New England-style IPA right now. So just hanging with you guys, man. Couldn't find a better way to wind out the night.
Hey, it's not a bad way to end a Thursday night. That's for sure. That's for sure. Jeffy, what are you drinking right now? Why don't you tell G what you're drinking? Because when he told me, I hated it.
A Finback Rolling Clouds IPA.
Oh, now you're having a cocktail.
Oh, nice. That's
fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Before sounds good. Sounds like something. It's definitely hazy, unfiltered.
Yeah. It's drinking out of the can, so it's hard to tell, but it's delicious.
Wow.
Well, hey, that's what matters, man.
They're from Queens. Yeah, Quicken Queens.
So, G, I've been trying to get back to my Adonis-like figure. You know, I feel like I'm always doing that, but I miss beer. You know how much I love beer, and so I've been drinking Omission, and it's a gluten-free beer. Can I finish before you laugh? Jesus.
I can't help it.
It's so hurtful.
Yeah, I'm holding it back. There's greater depth to this. That's fine. Think of me as your therapist. Go ahead. Tell me what's happening.
Well, there's some science I want to talk to you about this. That's what I'm getting to. It's the professional host, Jeffy. Take a note, for God's sakes.
I'm taking notes, man. Plum's a pussy.
Oh, see, fucking asshole.
Oh, sorry. God, sorry. Damn it.
Okay, terrific.
Terrible. All right, so, I'm drinking this Omission, right? It's this Omission Golden Ale. It's gluten-free beer, but it's a gluten-free beer not made from sorghum. So it's actually brewed like a regular beer, but once they brew it, they then add this enzyme that removes almost 100% of the gluten. Have you heard about this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we sell it quite well across all our stores, in fact. I'm not going to take anything away from it, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there with celiacs that, you know, lost the ability to drink really good beer, and this has been a tremendous alternative for them to be able to get the flavors that they're looking for without having the stomach pains that go along with it. I mean, I'm blessed with tremendous intestinal fortitude where I can drink pretty much almost anything, and I can,
hallelujah,
I could pretty much survive. Whether I like it or not is a totally different story. Right. But I will say this, Plum. I mean, I don't know if that's going to help you reach your Adonis-like figure. I think that's much more to do with the amount of consumption.
Well, you know, it's baby steps, you know, baby steps. That's all, you know.
Ask you a question, Plum?
No, I'm not taking any questions from you, Jeffy, after your comments a minute ago. I still haven't recovered yet.
All right, we'll recover real quick. how many calories?
Balls, baby. We got to bounce back fast.
Yeah, this particular Omission is only 99 calories.
Oh, well, that's impressive. I'll have to say.
And it tastes like beer. It tastes like a good beer.
Does
you know what? At that rate, then you got to be happy with yourself, right? Like, you know, you're doing the right thing.
I love it. Yeah. It's fantastic. I think it's – and so now I think you both owe me an apology because you were both about to make fun of me. Now you're like, oh, well, maybe we should.
No. I definitely did. I wasn't about to. I definitely did.
Yeah,
I
me
definitely
too.
Made fun of me.
I was right on that bandwagon with G. We were in the rafters cheering for your downfall.
Right.
We weren't like almost out with the joke. We definitely had a couple of good ones.
The gun was loaded. It was just getting ready to pull the trigger. That's all it was.
No, we pulled the trigger.
That's okay. Fun.
I'm trying to lighten the wound a little bit. You guys are like, no, we kicked you when you were down. We didn't care. We knocked your fake leg off and stomped on it. So,
well, the thing I don't understand is they make some really delicious IPAs now that are 100 calories in a can that are great, man. Like,
yeah, no doubt. Dogfish Head Slightly Mighty is actually the perfect example. I mean,
killer.
That's a great beer for the, you know, the low-cal thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, Jim, I mean, what do you think when it comes to that? Is it better to – I mean, I also love to do, you know, I do a little good tequila and seltzer, of course, but or I'll have a glass of wine. The problem with wine, though, is, I'll drink the whole bottle.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
We've talked about this. I can't help it. I'm opening it. Well, we're going to drink it.
So here's what I feel like is interesting, right? Like, so, yeah, will you put on weight because you're drinking wine? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I look at it the other direction. Like what's inside that wine? It's going to be a lot of sugar. It's going to be a lot of water. The sugar really is only coming in from the alcohol, right? The alcohol that gets converted into sugar after you consume it. For me, find other ways to cut sugar out from your diet. Like as I'm pushing up on the 40 mark, like I can't say that I consume much sugar in any other aspect of my life, because I know that I get my fair share through alcoholic beverages. So if you sugar areas of your life, that means that, hey, guess what? You could drink that whole bottle of wine.
Wow, that's a great way to look at it. Never thought about it like that. That's a pretty solid way to look at it. But it seems to be a trend these days, though. Listen, especially with Jeff and I, like, working out in the Hamptons. I mean, last summer, Jeff, you can vouch for it, too. Everywhere you go, people are drinking these fucking hard seltzers. And, I mean, it's insane. Like, no one just has a beer anymore. Do you see that in the stores, too? Is that happening a lot? Are the people drinking that crap?
Yeah, I mean, the political correct statement for me regarding seltzers is going to be that, no doubt, it gets people into drinking something that they enjoy. And so long as people are happy drinking what they enjoy, I'm happy, right? Like, because ultimately they're coming to me to buy it. And, you know, at some point in time, you would hope that, you know, their eyes wake up and say, hey, you know what? I'm sipping this. I'm enjoying that. Maybe they'll move over to a gin cocktail because they can find some really distant parallel between the two. But ultimately, I don't know, man. I don't, whatever happened to, like, saying you wanted a drink and it tasted like a fucking drink?
Amen to that. That's for sure.
Like, drinking a Bud Light seltzer or a fucking Bonavista. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't understand how this actually ended up becoming popular.
I'm with you. If we're going to have a seltzer, we're going to have a Bud Light seltzer? What?
Yeah, no, dude. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. They just launched. They're doing well. They're killing it. They're, like late to the game and coming out, but they're crushing it. It's amazing how late to the party, but man, they're owning the space already.
I mean, it really is. The seltzer thing is definitely a thing out in the Hamptons for sure. Jeff, you can vouch for that, can't you?
Dude, absolutely. It is what it is out there. It's like,
I'm pretty sure that if someone offered me a seltzer at a bar, I would probably not go to that bar anymore. But they
just don't
there too.
They sell them everywhere. Everyone's drinking them because everyone's trying to not be fat or something. Everyone thinks that beer is extra calories that you don't need.
I hate the taste of them.
Yeah. I hate the taste of those seltzers. There's not one that I've tried that I like. There's just something about them. They just don't. It's like malt liquor.
Right.
You know, I just don't really like malt liquor either. You know, I don't like I think when I was 14, I could drink a St. Ides, but now I can't do it.
What was going on in your middle school, dude?
Deep shit, man.
14 years old, drinking malt liquor? Jesus
Christ.
Dude,
I had a goatee when I was 14.
That's pricey.
You haven't seen my picture of me when I was in grade school? I have it on the internet. Everyone thinks I'm 30. It's scary.
Dude, you're a bad mofo, dude. You are a bad mofo.
It's a tough mantle to hold, but.
So, G, what's your go-to these days, man? What's your go? Are you doing wine? Are we doing cocktails? Are you doing beer? I mean, you definitely will drink the gamut, I know, of everything. But, you know, on a Friday night, tomorrow night, like, what will be your go-to beverage?
So, to me, it's all about scenario, right? So, like, you know, not to sound like a snobby asshole, but I guess I'm probably a snobby wine asshole. But if I'm hanging out with my wife Jules, if we're like just keeping it low key indoors, or maybe it's like one or two other couples over, it's going to be wine, and I'm going to try and open up some good stuff. I mean, you know, not to say that good stuff needs to be expensive. I think we've had our conversations there, Chef. But
totally.
You know, for the most part, I'm going to have a glass of wine. Why? Because I don't know. I feel like wine is one of the most alive of all beverages. And what I mean by that is having a glass, a good glass of wine, from the first sip to the last sip, and you're only talking about 4 or 5 ounces, that wine continues to evolve. So it's like you're reading from a book, right? A good book or you know, nowadays with everyone's attention spans, just think of it as a good article. One glass of wine is like a good article. From the moment you read the first few lines of that opening paragraph to the moment the article or that whatever you're reading closes out, you should feel like you were brought through a journey. And I feel like no other beverage, quite honestly, does that like wine does, because it changes with time in your glass rapidly. So
man,
so I if I'm hanging out, we're having a good time, I'm conscientious of what I'm consuming, you know, because let's face it, there's days where you're just like, hey, I just want something to drink, or I'm in that social environment where I got to put myself in. I'm like autopilot. You know, I can drink Stella's until the cows come home. I love Stella Artois. I can drink that stuff for, you know, for 7 hours straight, consume a half a keg and still drive you to Florida if you wanted to go.
Fucking animal.
You know what I mean? That's my jam. That's my neutral right there.
Love this guy. Holy shit.
Well, geez, so what do you think, man? What's the best way? Let's say someone is just getting into wine. They're just starting to become a wine drinker. Like, we just, you know, wine's good. I want to learn more about it. You know, what do you think is the easiest way to kind of ease into learning about wine, to start drinking some? You know, like, because at first, when you first have wine, it could probably be a little off-putting.
Yeah, no doubt. Wine has definitely got a lot of compounds in it. I mean, you know, especially red wine. The first sip of red wine, they say, is an attack on your palate because there's so many things happening. Acids, tannins, fruit, all these other compounds that are in wine. But it's the second sip. It's that second sip where your palate catches up to the attack, right? It's like if you put, like, old school, like, OG Metallica on full blast. I mean, is there any other way to listen to Metallica? Of course not. But the first few seconds when it's on, you got to just adjust. And once you adjust, you can keep ripping to the Metallica. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Total sense. Dude, when did you become this genius? Like, you got all these analogies that are awesome now, talking about Metallica, talking about books and articles. Holy shit. I just texted Jeff. I was like, I fucking love this guy. This is so great.
That's great. Are you saying you thought I was dumb before?
No, God, no. It's just like you got a whole new method of attacking this now and letting us know. So,
man, I appreciate that.
But someone who's coming into wine for the first time, so what would you ease them in with?
You know what I would say is number one, it's all about approach. You know, you said I wouldn't necessarily start with one region or one grape or anything like that. I would say that if number one, if you have any inclination to wine, start with what it is that got you fascinated with it. If it's sweet wine, if it's fucking Moscato, sure. If it's pink Moscato, just keep drinking it until you get tired of that stuff and then move on to something else. And the best way for you to do that, to be quite frank, starts on the ground floor, man. Go to a wine store or a shop where the person knows what they're doing. The difference between a wine store where there's plenty of stuff on the shelves for you to pick at and somebody that will, you know, at least walk you through and tell you what they're experiencing is monumental. It's monumental. It's, you know, wine is so complicated. You're talking about, you know, hundreds of different grapes, if not getting into the thousands. You're talking about so many world regions. To begin to tackle it, it's like it's too big. You can't take a bite out of that burger without first assessing where you want to start with. And then maybe you're not getting the whole thing in your mouth, dude. You need to go after this part of the bun and work your way down to the patty. You know what I mean?
Dude, he's right on point there. Jeff, throw the plug out there for G because he's over there.
Absolutely, man.
Dropping knowledge.
You want to follow G on Instagram at GP Wineslinger and see where he's doing, see where he's at. He's doing events all over Connecticut, all over the tri-state area, I'm sure. People are probably pulling him to do all sorts of shit. We're going to be pulling him in to do all sorts of stuff. Keep a lookout.
That's true.
He's going to be our official sommelier.
We got a venue this summer, G. We have a venue.
Hey, look, man, I'm there. If you guys are cooking, I know the food's going to be dope. I can make the wine work with it.
That's what I'm talking about, man. What's interesting, though, is because you talk about going to a store where people know what they're talking about and can help you. Because I think people are kind of afraid of that. Sometimes, I know I used to be for a long time. I'd go into a wine store. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just kind of want to figure it out on my own. But actually talking to someone makes a big difference because they're not always going to try to force you to buy the $100 bottle of wine. It's more about building that clientele, yeah?
No doubt. No doubt. And if you're feeling like when you walk into any given wine store that's not being respected, I teach all my people, right? We have 5 stores, and I'm blessed that we've been able to grow this business to the point where we have 5 locations, and we've got a great staff. And in many of my locations, I've got guys that are certified sommeliers like myself, and then I've got guys that are passionately pursuing, you know, educating themselves and to the point where they may be able to pass a test like that. But ultimately, it starts with real simple interactions with consumers and say, hey, why don't you tell me a couple things that you like? You don't need to tell me, you know, was this wine medium plus in tannin, or did you feel like it had vibrant aromatics versus moderate aromatics? Like, don't even go there. Just point to three wines in my store that you think that you've had that you've liked, and then I'm going to start to piece in what I feel like is going to be a great recommendation based off the common threads that I find between those three bottles that you pointed out. And one of the most important questions that any given wine steward or anybody in the wine store should be asking you is, where do you feel comfortable? You know, we're all on a journey. I help guys that are hedge fund managers and are balling out and you know, are living an amazing financial life, but that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's got to drink $100 bottles of wine in order to feel like they're getting the best out of it.
Totally not.
There's wines that, you know, I feel like, to be completely frank, I feel like the most exciting wines in the world are between $15 and $30. Like, legit, some of the most exciting wines in the world. And where we are right now, in a place of time where fine wine around the globe is being appreciated, there are many world-class regions, for example, Bordeaux, Barolo, Tuscany. You go to villages like Chianti or Brunello, you can still find wines that are hovering around that $30 price point, or at least find wines in, you know, you might not be drinking Barolo for $30, but you can drink a pretty knock your socks off Nebbiolo for $30. So you're drinking the key grape. So it's not like you're that far removed from reference point wines. And truth be told, that $15 to $30, you don't have to drink $30 wines every night. I tell people, you know, think about what you feel comfortable spending, and I'll make sure I find the wine that works. If I can't find the wine that works, if I can't find a wine that works within your budget, provided your budget is between, you know, at least $10 and ideally $15, then I'm not good at what I do.
You know, it's interesting because you bring up, you know, just saying that, just so people who don't know, the Nebbiolo, Barolo, those are great varieties. And, you know, I think it's just sometimes the simple basics of wine 101 can help a lot of people when it comes to, you know, buying a bottle of wine, you know. And I think having a good Barolo, having a good, you know, like you said, it's hard to find a good Barolo for that price range, but it's not impossible. But Nebbiolo is a type of grape, it's almost like a cologne of a Barolo, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it takes Nebbiolo to be able to make Barolo. And, you know, wine is all about geography, right? So it's all about location, man. It's all about location. And Barolo is so expensive because they've got a zip code, and they're not like expanding the zip code anytime soon. So the moment you're outside of the zip code, you can't call yourself Barolo, but that doesn't mean your wine is slouch. And if you're close to it, people can get the idea of what Nebbiolo is about. And, you know, if they find themselves enjoying wines of that stature, that varietal, and you know, they find themselves enjoying what those flavors are, maybe they can spend the extra $15 or $20 and sprinkle in a bottle of Barolo on occasion, so that way they really know what they're aspiring to find in wines of lower price points. And I believe this. You have to taste some of the better wines in the world, because that way you know what you're trying to find in the less expensive wines in the world. You know, to be able to taste really well-made filet mignon. Like, why is filet, in my opinion, you know, it can be one of the best steaks you have, or it could be easily one of the worst steaks you have. Often when I'm out, I never order filet because I'm worried about whether the guy's going to screw it up, because it's such a delicate flavor. It's not about the fat. I mean, you slather fat on something, guess what? It's going to taste good, mm-hmm. Which is why everyone orders a strip.
So I tell my wife all the time when I gain weight. I'm like, listen, I'm just trying to taste good for you, honey. That's all.
That's it, man. Get that fat in there. Guess what? Every bite is going to be better.
Hell yeah.
One after the next, sweetheart. I just keep getting better.
I'm doing it for you. This is a sacrifice I make. This is my sacrifice for you.
Do this for you.
But when you taste really, really awesome wines on the top end of the spectrum, now when you're tasting inexpensive wines, you understand whether you're finding those great flavors. You understand because you've had those signature characteristics. And when you find it in something that's not as expensive, you're all about it. You're like, yeah, I get that now. I see, you know, everyone chases Barolo, but I can taste glimpses of Barolo in this wine.
Yeah, and it's great for a Tuesday night.
Exactly.
I experience that a lot because where I work, I'm a private chef, you know, and I work for a guy who drinks phenomenal wine. A lot I can't pronounce. Like tonight he opened up something, it was ECHEZAURX or something like that.
It's, he's
like,
drinking some Echezo from the Cote de Nuit, dude. That's
98 It was a 98 Echezo.
There's not a lot of people that can put that word on a label, so I'm curious to know which Echezo it was. And he's drinking 98. That was a decent vintage for Burgundy,
it was mind blowing.
I just want to point out that G, you just said some letters, and G was like, "Oh, this is what that shit was."
Yeah, no, I knew he would, and that's why I had to say it. It blew my mind what I was drinking. You know, I was a little late to meeting Plum because I told him, I was like, "Oh yeah, he asked me to have a glass of wine," so I was like, "Let's have a glass of wine, sure." And I was like, "Ooh, what is this? I can't even say this. I didn't even want to ask him what it was because I was embarrassed that I was like." Achezuiru?
Yeah, Achezu, dude. Achezu. That's really good stuff. I hope that was a good sized glass, man, and you got an opportunity to savor it.
Yeah, I did actually. It was fantastic. But you know, it's funny. I drink all these great wines at work, and then I come home and I'm like, oh, let me go buy some wine. And then I get stuff, and I'm super disappointed every time, you know, because I'm like so used to drinking these like crazy wines. And every once in a while, I'll score. Like I remember, I found something called a Gattinara or something like that.
Yeah. That's actually Nebbiolo.
Yeah, which is like a Nebbiolo. That's what somebody said. It was like a young Nebbiolo or something, and it drinks really well. And I was like, oh, $30. This is fucking great for $30. You know, I was like, I love this. And it was I have a hard time finding things that like you said, like you look for cheaper bottles that taste like they could drink like a $60 or $70 or $100 or you know even more. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's impressive.
That's the fun part of it.
It's impressive when you find something that does kind of match that. And, you know, for years, especially after wines class in culinary school, like, there's so much information there that you have to absorb just to even get past it. And they say when you – Gene, you and I have talked about this. And at my wines class from culinary school, they say that you can pass the sommelier test, you know, after you finish this class. And, I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand. Gee, how many levels of the sommelier test are there now?
Oh, so there's entry level somm, then there's advanced somm, and then after that you got to get invited into being a master somm. So, but there's also more than one body of education at this point. Like, there's really become, I want to say, two really major schools of thought. So either you're pursuing the master somm, or I should say that the educational body that gets you towards master somm, and you choose to stop along the way of that learning curve, or you go in the direction of the people that accredit you as being a master of wine. And so the people that are pursuing the master of wine, there's like four levels before you can get invited to become a master of wine there. So it really all depends on which bodies that you're trying to get accredited from.
Is one better than the other?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, when you're really kind of focused in on the on-prem, like the restaurant scene, and you're trying to work that circuit, that you're going to go the SOM certificate, the quartermaster SOMs side of things. When you're working in the trade, but you're off-prem, or you're working on the supplier side of things, or maybe more retail like I am, maybe you pursue that what we call the WSET, the Wine and Spirits Education Trust training and certification courses. So,
and how high have you gone? I forgot.
So I am certified SOM. So way back in the day, like, and I'm going back, I recognize, I say this to people and they're like, well, you know, you're not even 40 years old. I'm 38 years old, but way back when I was 23, you know, I grew up in the wine spirits industry, Plum, and a lot of people when I was very young were kissing my ass. You know, these guys got to sell wine, these suppliers, totally. These wholesalers, right? They're coming into the store, they're like, oh, you know a lot about wine. At this point, it's because anytime somebody was trying to sell me wine, I'm reading tech sheets. You know, Google wasn't the thing that it is now. So you relied on all the literature these guys brought you. So I'm reading stupid things like, oh yeah, this thing has, you know, 1.8 grams of residual sugar. They added in 3.0 grams of citric acid after that. And then, you know, you're talking about this wine spent 12 months and, you know, 33% brand new French oak. And then you're tasting the wine, you're going through, you read all the tech stuff, then you're tasting the wine. You're reading about the laws around the region. And then one point in time, one of the sales reps said to me, you know, you should probably take a course or something just to see whether you're that good.
Oh shit.
And this was the first guy that said to me that I should see whether I'm that good, because everybody else would blow smoke up my ass, like, oh, you're amazing, you know, lot about wine. And of course they're trying to sell you something, so they're being nice to you. So I respected this guy, and he was a bit of a mentor. His name was Alvin Weber. Great dude, and he in his own right was a very accomplished sommelier in Europe, but very smart guy. And he ended up telling me that you know, go out, just take a course, because I feel like you'd really benefit from being in a peer set. Because I was just running out of my parents' store in Ansonia at the time. So I took this 22-week course. It was the first one that popped up on, believe it or not, it wasn't even Google at the time. It was Yahoo search, and it was the first one that pulled up. And, you know, they were the oldest wine teaching organization in the United States. It's the Sommelier Society of America. So definitely on the restaurant side of things versus, okay. You know, the WSET courses and certifications that I was talking about before. So I took the 22-week course. It was awesome. The people that were teaching it were advanced somms, and they were going through. One of the guys that was teaching the course was actually in contention to become a master somm. I'm not bragging. I aced the test. I don't think I got a question wrong. I have 100 questions. I got, you're supposed to get at least 65% on the blind tasting. I'm pretty confident that I got like a 95% on the blind tastings and 100% on the written part. But and they immediately were like, hey, you should get involved. You should get, you know, you should come in and like just be involved with the society. And
yeah.
I basically looked at him and like, guys, look, I really appreciate the fact that you think that much of me. I'm 23 years old. I just wanted to see whether I got this wine thing down. Now that I know I actually have my shit in order, I can't wait to go out there and just crush it with the business side of it. I got to take this knowledge and apply it to the business.
You know what I mean? That's what I want to hear.
That's awesome. It, dude.
That's awesome. That's it. Man. Well, good. Yeah. For you. Do you have to renew that every now and then, or?
No. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The amount of shit you had to know. Like, you ready for this? Ready for this? This was an actual question on the exam.
Okay.
What are the grapes permitted in the winemaking of Madeira from driest to sweetest?
Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, that's straight up like a question that we had on our wines test at CIA, man. There was questions like that. And you're like, what? I don't remember talking about that.
It's Sercial, Verdello, Boal, and Malmsley. And
that, I was just going to say that. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
The fact that I still remember that stuff, that's not a convertible piece of knowledge. Like, I can't take that and turn it into a business opportunity. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Let's do a Madeira tasting. That might be fun.
No, it's good to know. Don't get me wrong. It's
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking to get a Madeira, but I wanted to know what grapes are sweetest in said Madeira. Go.
And go. Holy shit.
Right now. I want to know right now.
Oh, you can't answer. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go elsewhere.
I'm going to the ABC store. I'm done here. This is nonsense. So what do you think, man, like coming up here or even now in the wintertime, like what do you think is one of the biggest trends that we're starting to see in the business that's a little bit different than what we had last year?
You know what I think is really interesting, and I wouldn't call it necessarily a trend that's going towards a style of wine as much as it is the way in which wine is made. You know, I think that so many people have become so conscientious. You know, you talk about, you know, these are the same motivations that drive people to drink seltzers.
Right.
People want to know how their wine is made. And I think it's amazing. I think, to be honest with you, it's really, really good because, you know, there's 90% of wine that's out there in most venues for you to be able to acquire it that is by and large factory wine.
Well, it's interesting because our good brother here on the show, Dave, his restaurant out in Montauk and in the Lower East Side, Cell Rose, all they do is like natural organic wines. And you go there and the food's great and they have great cocktails. You look at the wine menu, it's pretty small. But all of them are their natural organic wines. I mean, is that a thing we're heading to?
Yeah, for sure. So one of our big pushes for 2020, you know, we were, you know, obviously we're always trying to find ways to improve our business and the shoppability of our stores. But what we really are trying to find a way to do is connect our online and social experiences in to what people experience in the store. And one of my MOs over the next quarter is going to be people being able to come into our store. And instead of like, you know, we always had like the token organic section where these wines are certified USDA organic, or, you know, these wines are made with organic grapes. But for me, a lot of those labels in years past have just been like, you know, they're out there marketing themselves as such because they know there's a consumer looking to buy strictly because of it. And quality wasn't necessarily at the forefront. And then meanwhile, I've got a whole store full of wines where the people that are making these wines, they're 5, 6, 7 generations deep. These guys don't like screw industrial farming. These guys were like there for when it came around. They said, screw that, I'll never get involved with it. And then after it went upside down and people are looking to get back to organic and natural practices, these people are like, hey, I saw the fad of industrial farming and I was never part of it. And here I am enjoying the fact that I never hopped on that bandwagon. But they're not in the organic section of the store. They're literally sitting on the rack waiting for you to find it because these guys aren't trying to pimp themselves as such. These guys just believe in doing it right from the ground up, from word go, going back 5, 6 generations. And they're not going to go out and spend thousands of euros or dollars to get themselves certified. So,
and they can't. They're expensive.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a really good point, brother, because we talk about it all the time, you know. When I'm working, I have some really great farms that I work with, and I can go get amazing produce from. Jeff, you're probably the same way, that we can get amazing produce from, and it's all like grown naturally and organically, but they're just not certified because it costs too much damn money, and they've been running their farm the same way for, you know, 50 years, and, you know, a label of organic or whatever, that doesn't mean shit to them. That's just how they do business. That's how they've always done it. I mean, do we need to figure out some sort of label for these guys that doesn't cost a lot of money, that's just like a, you know, natural wine or organic, not organic, but like, you know, grown, I don't know, like something that everyone knows that, because I think you're right. Like, that's the way things are going.
So we're going towards the phrase of using clean wine. Like, these wines are clean, meaning that, you know,
hang on a second, G. Isn't that really going to alienate the other wines that maybe don't do that as much? And they're going to like, listen, you're saying that if you're saying that this is the clean wines, does that mean our wines are dirty?
Not necessarily. I feel like it's just a question of, if it's not dirty, why don't you prove it?
Well,
right? Like, the other people are happy to prove it, but they don't want to go get certified because it takes way too long to prove it to some governing authority. I believe a farmer, when a farmer looks me dead in the face and says, look, we've been farming this land this way for before people even had the authority to govern something organic. Totally. We're not changing the way we've done things. We've been doing this longer than people have been certifying something organic. Trust me when I tell you, this is how we farm. Like, I'm going to say, all right, great, your wine is clean. As far as I'm concerned, you're clean. And usually it's around smaller producers, people that can control their environment. It can talk to, you know, the specificity of their vineyard management and saying, hey, I own, you know, 100 hectares or 100 acres of land, and this is what we do, and this is how we deal with this pest. And, you know, whether it's bringing in ladybugs or birds or other natural predators for the pests or the problems that they're dealing with, you just know when somebody's really dedicated to it, because it shows in their wines. Quite frankly, it shows in their wines, Chef. You can take a glass of something that's been mechanically farmed, a product of industrialized techniques, and you could take somebody that's farming their vineyards biodynamically, and I can, and these people can be from the same part of the world, and I can put a glass in front of you of each blind and say, you know what, one of these is farmed biodynamically, the other is like I said, the product of a mechanized system that incorporates God knows what. You tell me which one smells better and tastes better, you'll be able to pick it out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but that's so interesting, man. I mean, what a great wine tasting to do, by the way. You guys should do a tasting like that.
Yeah, for sure. So when we get to the point where we can kind of break the knowledge on and like how we're going to present this to customers, because it's no longer just going to be this one section of the store where we've got this dedicated space. It's going to be special tagging around the store where we're telling people these are smaller producers, these are more, eco-conscious producers, and then let's see where it goes. I mean, just it starts with telling people that this exists, and then let's see if there's a thirst for people wanting to know a lot more. I feel like there is. I feel like we finally reached that inflection point. You know, it started with food. It started with, you know, purveyors like Whole Foods, people like that going around saying, hey, look, you know, the only thing we're going to sell are things that meet this criteria. Now, that's a lot harder with wine, considering, you know, the wine world is pretty big, but if you take a look at the overall volumes, like the leading volume sales of wines are controlled by no more than 10 companies.
That's insane, man.
Yeah, it's nuts, right?
Two things on this. Number one, we'll start with this one. Jeff, how amazing is that? Like, we just popped that question on G just like that, and this man just broke massive knowledge on that. That was really impressive, brother.
Dude, GP Weinslinger, Instagram, follow him now. Follow him now and DM him when you have questions about anything involving spirits. DM, god damn it. DM him. Just direct message.
I am
message.
Married happily, FYI.
Yeah, no, don't DM him the pics of yourself. Just DM. I mean, well, maybe do that too. But I mean, DM him, you know, real questions about like life. Follow him, you know, show him the love.
And the other thing I want to say that I don't want you, and I'm afraid you're going to tell me that he's right. Dave is on the right track than you think, as far as with his restaurant doing all this natural wine stuff. You think maybe he's actually doing something that is, you know, could become a bigger thing.
Yeah, for sure. I
fucking
want to be
hate
careful
that you said
about
that. I hate that he said that, Jeffy. Don't tell Dave he's right about anything. He's listening right now. Don't tell him.
I think we got to be careful of the word natural, though. So, you know, when you take a look at how wine is farmed, there's a lot of different kind of classifications. Natural, believe it or not, is void of many definitions. So, you know, you've got organic, you've got biodynamic, you've got sustainable. Those are probably like the big ones where people are kind of falling into buckets of how they approach work in the vineyard, and to a lesser extent in the winemaking rooms, but certainly in the vineyards, and to, like I said, to some extent in the winemaking rooms. The word natural wine is kind of, you know, that's sans definition. That's basically, you know, a winery or a winemaker saying, I have no rules other than I will not intervene. Like, I'm going to let anything happen that happens naturally.
Yeah.
They don't want to do any work in the vineyard that is anything other than what Mother Nature would have intended. And in the winemaking rooms, I feel like a lot of these guys, you know, they just crush and they let things happen. They won't even go to the extent of trying to control the temperature around the fermentation because they feel like that's interference. I feel like you got to be really careful when you get into that sphere of quote unquote, you know, natural or clean wines. I feel like I've had some natural wines that taste very good and are interesting, and I've tasted, unfortunately, more than the fair share of wines that are dubbed as being natural that are quite frankly, you know, they taste like poorly made wines because the winemaker didn't step in and choose to do something that would have been right. You know what I mean?
Totally. I mean, that's just a shame to hear, but I mean, maybe there does need to be some sort of parameters around that at some point, you know? Like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, natural wine at this point means, you know, I would equate it to, you know, Chef, if you said, hey, this is a natural steak, I just turn the heat up on the stovetop, put my cast iron, you know, skillet down, and I just throw it down, and I don't do anything until I see enough smoke. If I see enough smoke, then I flip it, and then, you know, it's like, you know, if you're not timing, if you're not, you know, making sure it's the right temperature, if you're not doing any of those things, what are you left with? Something that's a sloppy product eventually.
I mean, can I season it? Gee, at least let me season the steak.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, even though the steak doesn't come with its own salt and pepper. Yeah, right. You got to be able to do that. And those are two natural things, right? Salt and pepper are very natural things.
Absolutely. Well, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you coming in here on the chat, if you got a couple more minutes, Gee, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, dude, I'm all yours.
Why Bover 33? Can you explain what a maritage is?
Yeah, a maritage is not a word.
Oh.
So the word is actually meritage. Oh. Meritage. Meritage is a Bordeaux-inspired blend that comes in from California. So it was a term that was coined by the thought leaders of the time. I'm going back, obviously, several decades ago, back when,
dumb.
You know, 70s and 80s. It's not meritage. No, it's meritage.
This is my favorite thing when people church up words.
Yeah.
And it actually isn't churched up at all. It's just meritage.
It's a question.
The meritage.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It sounds very fancy in French when you say it that way, right? Doesn't your self importance like skyrocket when you say it like that?
Yeah, meritage. I'd like meritage, sir. With the cat soup.
Right.
How do you pronounce it?
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, all the wine guys are like, this fucking guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
So what's the correct pronunciation then?
Meritage.
Meritage. All right.
Yep.
Meritage. Meritage. Yep. That's what we say down south, too. We have words similar to that. We have words like mayonnaise. I'll use it in a sentence for you. I walked in the room and I said, mayonnaise a lot of people in here. Hey, come on now. Here we go.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
All right, so.
What do we got, drops on command over here?
Oh, yeah, I got whatever
you
want.
Stacking them up like that.
What do you want?
Never seen a grown man naked.
I got all kinds of them. What do you need?
Shut up, dummy.
That's awesome. That's priceless.
I don't use them on you because you're a good guest. Bad guest? Oh, it gets where it gets ugly.
Oh, wow.
So coming in here, another one. So I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation of this, so you may have to correct me here a little bit. What is the most comparable wine to an E. Gugals, G-U-I-G-A-L's, Hermitage?
Well, that's a pretty damn impressive wine, that Gugal Hermitage. To be honest with you, you know, I if you're looking for Hermitage, you should be checking out other Hermitages. So Hermitage is this cool little appellation that's up in the northern Rhone, and it's 100% Syrah wine, and it's a pretty cool classic example. It's a classic French wine, Hermitage. Depending on the vintage, you can find something that's really big and ripe with black and blue fruits. You can find lots of like bacon fat and black pepper flavors, really long-lived wines, Hermitage. Not the most long-lived in the Northern Rhone, but definitely some long-lived wines. I would say that if you're looking for a wine that is not Hermitage, I would be looking for Syrahs coming in from Central Coast California. I really feel like the Syrahs from that part of the world offer a great contrast to the otherwise challenging flavors of Hermitage, meaning that, you know, if you don't let Hermitage sit around in a bottle for a little bit, it can sometimes be lost on you while you're spending $25-$30 on these wines. Meanwhile, you can be in California for around, you know, $20, so, you know, $5-$10 savings per bottle, and you could be drinking Syrahs that offer a lot of those meaty, gamey, smoky, bacon fatty, black pepper characteristics that don't cost as much and probably offer a little more fruit and therefore accessibility in their youth.
Damn, breaking knowledge on there right there. And one more, I'll do one more here. This is from Vivian McAdoo 97 or 98, 97. Wants to know white wines that are put into steel casks obviously taste a little crisper. Do they ever use any other types of metals to put wines in?
No, stainless steel, that's the way, man. That's like, you know, we're talking about winemakers controlling environments. And so stainless steel is like your way to have complete control over what's happening. You can heat it up. You can cool it down. You know, you've got stainless steel. They put these heating and cooling coils around it. So, you know, temperature for, you know, I don't want to say that fermentation is exactly like baking, right? But there's like, you know, baking is exacting, right? You got to be within certain ranges for certain times for things to cook correctly through. Same thing happens when it comes to fermentation science. You want to be able to say that you've managed to maintain a specific temperature to achieve your desired outcome. And with that, when you're in stainless steel, it really helps you control that more so than it would if you were using really old, very large oak barrels, or if you were using, you know, cement vats. You know, you're giving up a lot of control when you're not using stainless steel. And it really is all about winemaker preference and what they're trying to accomplish. And so really bright, crisp, aromatic whites, I really feel like benefit from being in stainless steel. So, you know, if the winemaker's trying to chase that profile, then, you know, stainless steel is going to be really good for it.
You know, Jeffy and G, I'm going to our good brother, John Brennan's new restaurant in Seymour, Olives and Oil. And he's got 17 wines on tap, and all I want is a crisp. I'm going to taste all of them. I can't wait. I'm just so excited. Usually I like crisp whites. I'm going to taste all of them, and then I'm going to take an Uber.
Nice.
Home. That's the plan.
Nice. Hey, when are you going there?
Saturday night.
This Saturday night?
Yeah. You want to come?
I live 2 minutes away from there.
Do you really?
I live 2 minutes away from there, chef.
Oh, well, bro, we got to talk because you should come over there. John's a really great chef. He's amazing. I love John very much, and Olives and Oil is a fantastic
He's
restaurant.
He's a great brother.
Yeah.
brother.
Yeah, really, so I emailed. I've been emailing him back and forth. We've DM'd a few times back and forth. I know he's been going crazy trying to get that place open, but we're actually planning on trying to work together there. From, you know, I've got two stores on either side of him that can help get some wine events going. But that's a beautiful space. I know he's an amazing chef. I actually remember that.
Yeah, you met him right with us.
You did a huge charity event. With the guys from Ergo,
yeah,
good and part. It was in their warehouse, and I was one of the judges for it. And believe it or not, him and I think it was Kate. They were both going against one another, and I ended up voting for John Brennan because you know, the food was amazing. He just barely outdid Kate, but his food was amazing. His food was really good.
He definitely knows how to throw it out. He's a good guy, man. He did a whole event by himself too. Brought no sous chef, remember?
Yeah, that's right. I do remember. The guy's a beast, dude. The guy's a beast. So, yeah.
He's killing it.
I got some stuff going on Saturday earlier on in the day, but, man, hit me up if you're going to be coming through, dude. I kid you not. We'll hit him up together.
Yeah, John's a good brother, man. And he did great on the show, too. He was on our Elite Chef program, man. And I just love John. He's a really good guy, man. He's a talented chef. And he's one of the guys here in Connecticut that I think we should celebrate because he does such a great job at everything he does.
When he was announcing that he was going to that Seymour spot, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I live in Oxford, a Seymour area here. This is a good community. It's definitely a great culture. I mean, from Waterbury to Bridgeport, this area here has got something special to it. And people take care of and reward businesses that try really hard and put forth really quality products. So I know that the moment, you know, I heard he was coming into town, I knew that this area is going to support it, because it's otherwise like a black hole out here. There's kinda, nothing going on. There's nothing going on.
The good news is it's only about 6 or 7 miles from my house, so I'm excited. We're gonna take a ride out there. Me and my wife and I, another couple, we're gonna take an Uber out there, so we don't have to worry about it. Just have a great time. He's a really good guy, and his food's fantastic. And you know, we love John, but the show's about you, not about John. Jeffy, throw one more plug out there before I hit him with the final question.
Absolutely. You got to get out there. You got to get on your Instagram. You got to get on your Instagram. You got to type in, search GP, the Wine Slinger. It's actually just GP Wine Slinger. And then you're going to hit follow, and then you're going to get knowledge dropped on you on the regular.
Right.
Get out there.
All right, G, here it comes. You ready? This is going to be the question for you, man, before I get you on down the road, because I know you've been working all day, and you came home, and you jumped right here on the program with us, and we really appreciate it. We always love talking to you, bro. You're such a good guy. You dropped so much knowledge tonight. Go back and listen. You're going to be like, holy shit, I really, like, taught a class to these people tonight.
That's awesome. Like, you know what? You guys are so easy to talk to, and your questions are always good. Your audience is amazing. It's really easy when the right audience is there and the questions get asked, it's that's what makes it fun, dude.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, you're great at what you do, and it shows right here. And Jeffy and I love talking to you, brother. And I really am serious. We're going to do something fun this summer. We have a venue now. It's going to be dope. Anyway, more of that to come. All right. Apocalyptic scenario, right? We got nothing left. Everything's gone. We're foraging for food. We're fighting to keep each other alive. We're taking care of each other. There's no electricity. Gee, you're going to be in charge. We still have to drink. We have to have alcohol. We have to have something. What are the three things that you're going to take with you in the apocalypse? Not just for you, not just for me, not just for the big man daddy over there, Jeffy, for the entire world. What do we get to keep?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Three things. Well, professional broadcaster, you know.
That's a really good question, because you said three things. Yeah. So if you said one thing, then I'd be like, all right, I guess what? I'm going to draw really hard lines. But now I gotta do this. All right, so because my business works in threes, I'm going to divide it almost evenly, because I feel like every bit or every segment of my business merits attention. So the first thing that we're going to do, and this is not in level of importance, this is in level of how it's coming to me, beer. So I'm going to say that we have to scrounge up some really good sours. Why sours? Because it's apocalyptic. We're at the end of time. You know, you don't want a beer that you're just going to chug and plow through. Okay. You need a beer that with every sip, it tends to stick with you and stay with you and manages to build on its flavor. And so therefore, you don't crush it. More importantly, it's apocalyptic times. We need something that's going to last. A lot of sours can hold inside of the bottle that they're in for years to come. So guess what? Mm. We don't have to worry about that hazy New England style IPA, you know, going out of code because it's older than 60 days.
Yeah, but here's the problem I have, G. If I just fought 97 zombies and protected our little town that we've built, right, and I get to come back and you're like, oh, great job, Plum, fantastic job, and you hand me a sour that I can't pound, I'm going to be upset.
Dude, I think if you just fought a bunch of zombies, you're going to pound whatever I give you.
That's probably true, too. Jeffy, do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah, all right.
I absolutely agree with him. I think a sour is an excellent choice. I'm a big fan of sours. I think we might even have luck with my my vast culinary knowledge that we might be able to take one of those sours and make us a little jailhouse hooch. Keep it running. Keep it going.
Okay. See that?
Does that sour come gluten-free? That's all I'm asking.
If you're fighting that many zombies, you're not worried about your waist at that point. That's true. Fighting them right off, man. You're beating those calories right back before they get going.
All right, so number one, you're bringing us. We're figuring out how to get a sour. You got two more, yep. G. What's number two?
All right, number two, because we got to close it out with wine. Number two is going to be, you ready for it? Gin.
Ooh.
Gin. Why? Because there's plenty of people that are going to bitch if I say scotch, right? Like, they're like, oh, my God, you brought scotch? Like, what am I going to drink, right? Like, so gin, I like. I like scotch a lot. I like whiskey in general. But gin is one of those things where you can drink it in the winter. You could drink it in the summer. I feel like gin is like the original, like, how should I say? It was the original medicine man's drink.
Yeah.
They made this stuff to supplement and support the British troops, man. This was meant to take care of you. Gin and tonic was meant to boost your immune system. That to me is like, yeah, if we're going to be fighting stuff and we got to fight back people, give me some gin.
Man, gin. Love gin. Great choice. Love okay. gin. All right. And hey, and I don't know if you just saw a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago at this point, Mohegan Sun Food and Wine Festival, they paired us up with Hendrix gin, and we made some pretty amazing food using that gin.
Yeah, I saw the oysters, dude. They looked awesome, man.
That one was all Jeffy. We talked a lot about what to do. We came up with an amazing oyster shooter.
Yeah, we came up with that together. It was beautiful. It really was
beautiful. Yeah, that looked like it was a good time. I missed that show. I heard it was a good one, though.
I wish you were there, man. One of those years, I gotta get you out there, dude. It's the best time. It's the best time ever. Our oyster shooter was the Hendrix Gin, a fresh oyster. Then we did a whole bunch of fresh cold-pressed juices. We did cucumber. We did a bunch of citrus. And then we did a bunch of herbs. And we pressed it all together and made an amazing juice cocktail out of it. We did the oyster, the fresh juices, the gin, and then we made cilantro boba, like in a boba tea, those little tapioca balls in there. And people were going apeshit over it.
Yeah, and then we floated it with tonic. Yeah, we hit it with a little tonic on top. Yep.
Dude, that sounds awesome. That sounds freaking insane.
A little of the oyster liquor in it as well. I was really proud of the dish that we put out. I thought it was a really. People were very apprehensive at first when we said gin and tonics, and then when they were hitting it, people were coming back and doing 3 and 4 shots with us. It was pretty crazy.
So smooth, bro. So smooth.
Yeah, which means you nailed execution right there, man. People, that's the beauty is when people are hesitant and they're like doubting what it is that you put forth in the moment. You know, they have that coming to Jesus moment, like, I believe. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I was so foolish to not believe.
Well, gin's a great choice because it can be refreshing. It can be warming. It kind of hits all those notes. I'm definitely coming back from the zombie battle and having a good gin and tonic with some lime. That's what I'm having. Fuck the sour. That's right.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
You get one more, G. What's number
3? All right. So this is where, like, if we've got plenty of sour beer and we've got lots of gin floating around, I am flat out going to go to, like, baller level shit when it comes to the wine side of things.
Okay.
I'm going to say that we're drinking Priorat. Red wine, Priorat. I don't know if you know what Priorat is,
no.
But Priorat to me is like one of my first true and original loves when it comes to the wine world. It is this cool spot that's kind of in the northeast corner of Spain. Priorat is crazy because it's like this postage stamp size spot on the wine globe. And it's got these ridiculously steep hillsides and the soil type. that is all black, brown slate, these big ancient like riverbed rocks that are glittered all throughout the vineyards. They call them cadols. This whole soil type has got its own name. It's called Eocara. Dude, it's an insane part of the world. And believe it or not, like 100 years ago, wine makers tried to make this into a great spot. They recognized the potential, right? They planted vineyards. They tried to farm it. And the hillsides were so steep. If you tripped and fell, like the only way you stopped was when you were dead and at the bottom of the hill. It was nuts. And they couldn't find a way to export the wines because there was no threshold for people willing to spend that kind of money outside of regions like Rioja and Ribera del Duero. So fast forward 100 years later, people are in the zone. You know, probably about 30 years ago is when people really started to try again with this whole spot. But all the vineyards were abandoned. So you've got these really old head pruned vineyards and this crazy soil type in this warm climate. And these really funky varietals, they utilize a lot of the Mediterranean varietals that I call, you know, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, but then there's also Carignan and some sprinkled plantings of Cabernet, Merlot, Syrah. Like I said, these really cool vineyards that when you taste the wine, there's nothing else like it in the world. And for me, it's fun drinking because in its youth it offers amazing fruit and purity and spice and zest and minerality, and in its age, as the wine sits and has a chance to gather some dust, the wines turn into these really cool, earthy, funky but very forward wines, like wines that have generous fruit even in old age. And as you get past the fruit, you can still taste, like I said, the earthy, funky minerality that you enjoy in that part of the world.
Holy shit. Do you have these in your store?
Yeah, Priorat, yeah. Yeah.
All right, I got to go get some from Newtown because now all I wanted to do is try this. Jeff, don't you? The way you just described that, aren't you like, yeah, we need some of that now?
Yeah, absolutely. I Googled it already. I was poking around.
Wow.
Awesome. Around on different brands and varieties that I might want to purchase.
Is it expensive?
No,
it's pretty reasonable.
So the Priorat Playground is typically an expensive one. You know, the cost of admission is around, used to be around $50, but over the past 6 or 7 years, I want to say that the prices have democratized quite a bit. Like, you can get into the Priorat for around $20 to $25, and you're drinking really good examples. It's great. Are you kidding me? It's awesome. That's really good. And if you want the world's best examples, you're going to be spending $50 to $100 for sure. But, you know, when you go to Napa at this point, can you buy Cabernet under $25? That's good and worth it? Not really.
No.
You go to Burgundy, France, if you want to just drink simple Burgundy, you know, stuff that's not even like from amazing soil, you're at $25. If you're in Priorat, like I said, it's the size of a postage stamp, dude. For $25, you can drink some pretty badass wine. And, you know, hey, $50-$60, yeah, you're balling out a little bit, but man, you'll never taste anything that's come close to it.
All right, I need to go get a bottle of this tomorrow night. That's to have for tomorrow night. So hopefully you carry it in my store here at Newtown.
Yeah, no doubt. We definitely do. I'm sure we have at least 2 or 3 examples of that.
Hell yeah. Interesting, G. So you got a sour beer, you have gin, and you have this Priorat wine, which I mean, those are great choices. I thought for sure you'd throw a bourbon in there, but no bourbon.
No, you know why? Because I think bourbon is like the action flick of the summer, right? Like, it's loaded with all the personalities that you can expect. Like, not like you're surprised by, you're expecting them. And it's like got all the explosions, the fast cars. It's like got all the hot people inside of it. Right. Like, you take a sip out of bourbon, it's like, oh yeah, who's not going to like this? But to me, I don't feel like it's as intellectually challenging as some of these other drinks.
Damn. G, you are the man, brother. Seriously, I could talk to you all night. I have like 65 more questions. I could just keep throwing them at you. I feel like every time we talk, it's like getting under the learning tree, and I feel a little smarter. Jeffy, don't you?
Dude, absolutely. We haven't even touched bourbon or any of the other. I mean, we just started like, We could have you on at least 6 times a year just to touch on all the things that we like to drink.
No doubt.
Well, you know my number, guys. You know my number.
No doubt about it. Jeffy, tell people where they can follow G and learn more about the Wine Slinger.
Absolutely, man. You're going to get on GP Wine Slinger on Instagram. You're going to give him a follow. You're going to go through his pictures. You're going to like him. You're not going to be creepy. You're going to DM him questions about delicious pirouette and other fantastic wines.
Gee, you happy are the
to
man.
Answer questions. Happy to answer questions. Anything you got? Wine 101s, things that you should be pairing with a steak, let me know. That.
Be careful. People might start sending you shit for real.
Are
be
you
careful.
Teaching classes? Do you teach classes at any of your stores?
Yeah, so we do a number of classes, and obviously there's a lot of listeners to your show that are coming in from a pretty wide geographical landscape. So, you know, for me, in my stores, a lot of people really know me quite well. So do I teach classes? Yeah. I mean, I think the last class I taught was something to do with pairing wines with cheese and charcuterie. And specifically, we focused in regions of Italy. And, you know, I basically went and gave a tutorial about, you know, wine pairing 101 when you're considering cheese and meat. And then we actually went through and have five examples of cheese and meat with five different wines. And, you know, I do that stuff on occasion. But, you know, a lot of my customers really already know and hear from me a lot, quite a bit. But I got some cool stuff coming. And believe it or not, I've taken inspiration from you guys.
How do we get on that mailing list?
It's really all about where you're located. Each of the five stores, they run some pretty cool programs. You know, Plum was talking about it before. I got really great guys in Newtown, specifically Connor, Justin, and Andres. These three guys are constantly working to find cool things to pour off and taste for people. And, you know, just last night, believe it or not, I didn't make it to this tasting event, which I was totally bummed about. But the crew put together a Valentine's dessert wine tasting. So they did every major dessert wine in the book, like on the planet. Like you want to talk about Pedro Ximénez sherries, you want to talk about port wine, you want to talk about Sauternes, you want to talk about, you know, Rutherglen Australian late harvest Muscat. Like these guys had tons of crazy stuff open. And Andres, who's my man, my Colombian wine brother, he spent his fair share of time in kitchens, you know, working the gambit on the culinary side of things. So he actually put together a spread of food that worked with every major wine that we were pouring off. So for $25, I think it was, we had like 30 or 40 people show up to the store in Newtown, taste through a bunch of eight dessert wines and have tailored food to pair with it. So it's really all about like what location you're close to. And, you know, if you're not necessarily close to one of my stores and you don't want to sign up to a specific store, like I said, follow me on Instagram. We always have a ton of things going on. Just a question of where it's going to be. Hopefully I get some stuff going on with Chef John down the road from where I live.
Oh, that's what you need to have happen. Hell sure. Yeah. Just FYI, I talked to Justin and Connor about maybe this springtime before I head out for the summer to come out there and finally do a tasting with you guys and pop something cool on a plate for you.
Dude, I know how busy you are, and I know you're easily one of the most talented guys when it comes to food I've ever met.
Wow, thanks.
So if you could grace the Bottle Stop Wine and Spirits in Newtown with 2 hours of your time, and when it comes to cooking, dude, that wouldn't only be massive. I'm sure we'd have to beat back the crowds, dude. Yeah. anyone that doesn't know, like Chef can't walk in and out of my store without spending an hour and a half, and he'll blame it on me, but really it's all about the number of people asking him for his freaking autographs.
Oh, stop it. Get out of fucking town. All right, look, here we go. Look, you guys make sure you follow G. He is the man, dude. Brother, we love you very much. You're such a great guy to talk to. It's always a great time having you on the program, dude, and we look forward to seeing what's happening. I think summer's going to be really good for all of us. I think the spring's going to be really good, but more importantly, bro, you're going to be gaining more knowledge. Every time we talk to you, you got some more knowledge to drop, and you're teaching all of us, and we appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure, guys. Jeff, you guys are awesome. Plum, you guys, you really nail it. I look up to you guys and everything that you guys are doing. It's an inspiration for anybody that's got quality on their mind, because let's face it, you got one body. It's all about what you give it. And so whether it's a good glass of vino or a good plate of food, man, if it's not quality, it's not worth doing.
Or gluten-free beer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a whole other conversation. Well, I'm going to waterboard you later for your sins.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go. All right, G, look, we'll catch you on down the road, brother. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Hey, no, thank you, guys. Enjoy your rest of the evening.
All right,
thanks, brother.
There he goes, right, the one, the only, the wine slinger himself, our good brother G. Man, Jeffy, I love talking to that dude. He's just such a fun guy to talk to.
Dude, I want to hang out with that dude. I don't just want to talk to him on the podcast. I feel like it's another reason I want to move to Connecticut, so I can go to G's Wine Stores and hang out and like go out to eat at Olives and Oil, and just mix it up.
Hey, listen,
he's a
bad motherfucker, man. He's a cool ass dude. Brother.
Not a bad spot. Not a bad spot. G
no, it's a fantastic
man.
Spot. And G is the man. I mean, he is just every question we asked him, he literally dropped so much knowledge on that subject. It was like,
tell everybody too. There's no preface there. Like, he didn't know what we were gonna ask him.
Like, no, hell no. He literally just we all got home 5 minutes before we got to get on the yeah. horn.
He had no idea.
We got headphones on, and here we are talking. And that guy who said he woke up at 7 this morning and had been gone all day doing events came in and, without missing a fucking beat or breath, just blew the doors off this motherfucker.
He sure
I mean,
did. He's the fucking man, dude. G is the man. And I'll tell you what's just so great about a guy like that, too. He's excited about it. You know, after all
the years
he's
been doing it. That's what I mean. The passion he puts forth about every single thing about the wine. I love it because it's the same way I feel that we are about food. Like, you know, when we got down with, pairing with Jim with the Hendrix, we got so excited to, like, taste it and try to bring out all the different flavors with it. And we got excited about selling our shot to people. I feel like he brings that exact same passion to every little thing he does when it comes to his career, which is wine and spirits. And I'm humbled that he said he would. He just said like, "Oh, I'm honored to be." Whatever he said about being like, he looked up to us or something. I was like, "For what?" I'm like, "Dude, you are awesome! Like, you could have a podcast right now. I would follow you.
Absolutely,
just tell me
he
could.
I listen to it all the time. He just came on and talked about wine for 45 minutes. It'd be great,
dude,
you know,
dude."
I mean, G is the man, dude. And I tell you what, he's such a good speaker. He knows what he's talking about, and I never would have thought he would have picked sours, gin, and what the fuck was that tiny little region he talked about of wine? Holy shit!
Pirarat. I don't speak it the Spanish very well, but it's a Pirarat.
I did it not when he got done talking about it. Didn't you kind of want to like go buy some of that and see if it's any good?
But I'm in the booth then. I wanted to retire in Pirarat on the steep hills.
I don't know if it's on the coast, but if it's not, it should be. It sounds like it should be on the coast.
Wherever it is, I want to be there. Yeah. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I'll have a donkey farm. Me and you could we could retire to Pirarat and
dude, mountain goats
farm.
Make goat cheese and drink Pirarat wine.
And we can make donkey cheese. No one makes donkey cheese. That can be our thing.
Because that sounds fucking gross, dude. Well, I'm just gonna throw it out there.
It's not that gross. I mean, is it bad?
Donkey cheese?
Look, donkey cheese. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't
what?
It?
What? Donkeys don't go. What kind of donkeys have you been around?
Have you ever kicked one in the balls? That's exactly the sound they make.
I've never kicked a donkey in the balls.
Well, don't judge until you try, Jeffy. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, you'll cry if you see a dog get hurt in a movie, and you're over here talking about kicking donkeys in the balls.
Why are you putting my
personal
information on the street?
Animal.
You don't need to put my personal information on the street.
You give certain love to certain animals, and then other animals you treat terribly.
Look, here's the thing. Number one, I've never kicked a donkey in the balls, but I've watched it happen and heard the sound they make. I've been to Texas. That's all I'm saying. Number two,
heard the sound they made.
Yeah, I just don't think you should put information on the street like that, Jeff. Yeah, we're boys. Like, it's hurtful that you would do that in public.
It's pretty hardcore, man. It's pretty hardcore that you sat through one of those things.
I left. I left because of the sound.
Because
donkey.
Make that sound. There, yeah, that sound. Hey, you know what that sounds a lot like?
What?
Anna's horns.
What?
Remember Anna? She was on the show, Anna from Anna and Raven. Oh. You remember her horn noise? Remember she was like, "Oh yeah, I know the horn."
Yeah.
And then she, I don't know what happened, but it was something like that, right?
It was similar. It was very similar.
Similar to a donkey getting kicked in the balls. Now I know what it sounds like. Now I know what she
That's
was going
she got
for.
It from. We kicked every. So we have donkey balls today here in Connecticut. It happens in November, and we all celebrate. We get a couple donkeys, and then we draw straws, and then whoever gets the smallest straw gets to kick the donkey in the balls every year.
Right? What a privilege. That seems like.
It is. And we generally, the person is heralded. They get a statue built for them. It's pretty cool what they do around here. It's not bad.
There's got to be some people picketing that, though. There's got to be a handful of people who are not into kicking the donkey.
Okay, so it always starts off. There are people out there with signs, and they're picketing. But you know what we do? We give them one of the raffle tickets. We give them two, maybe three raffle tickets to be able to actually swing the first kick. And they usually put their signs down and join the group.
Oh, man. I thought maybe you kick the people who picket it in the balls.
Jeff, come on, man. Don't be fucking graphic. We're not doing that.
All right. Sorry.
I mean, jeez. Listen, we give them tickets. Usually they're out there because they're poor people. Generally, protesters are poor people.
What?
Is that not a normal thing?
That's not a thing.
Are you sure?
I don't think anyone, even from Virginia, has ever said that.
Let me ask you this. Remember when they protested Wall Street and all those people were sleeping in tents and not taking showers and had dreadlocks?
Oh, bro. A lot of those people were just choosing an alternative lifestyle, man.
Right. But if I went down there and threw a fiver, I went down there and I threw a crisp Andrew Jackson on the ground, and it was literally like watching Fight Club.
You're full of shit.
Just telling you from first-hand experience, Jeffy.
First of all, you don't have any Andrew Jacksons on you.
It's a $20 bill.
Okay, maybe you have a few of those. I thought maybe it was bigger.
No, it's a 20.
Well, I don't pay attention to who's on the money. I spend it carelessly.
Bro, listen, here's my thing.
What's your thing? Kicking donkeys in the balls?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Here in Connecticut, we kick donkeys in the balls. We assume protesters are poor. And we like to celebrate. It's like a holiday. It's great.
Gotta love them nutmeggers.
Shut up,
Harry. All right.
You nutmeg them? You nutmeg them donkeys?
We certainly do. Do you know how to nutmeg a donkey?
You ever nutmeg a donkey, boy?
Nutmeg a donkey in front of a crowd?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Absolutely, in Mexico.
Oh, my God. Hopefully G won't pick up on this part of the show. We put him over for 10 minutes, then he fucking comes back in the show. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about with donkeys and protesters? I don't know, dude.
It goes Jeff down.
It's Jeffy's fault. He got me all fired up.
I'll take that. It could be my fault. Mm-hmm. I bring a certain energy.
No doubt about it. Listen, here's the thing. I think after having G on, we all should drink more wine. I mean, literally, it's delicious. When he was describing how it's like an article you would read, I mean, I thought that was spot on.
Yeah. Listen, first of all, he knows me because he said sours, gin, and then a very small region of wine, which I wasn't familiar with, but I feel like I would love it because I love sours and gin, so I feel like we're on the same page.
He definitely seemed like he was trying to make Jeffy happy. What is with this thing these days that everybody wants to make Jeff happy?
I don't think it's that everyone wants to make me happy as much as I maybe I walk in a certain amount of favor. I don't know. That could be up at any time. You know, like I could get hit by a bus or something terrible could happen to somebody. I'm always ready for that.
Go out on a search party. We got to go out. We're gonna scavenge some food. We're gonna be gone for 3 days. Then we'll come back to our little town with people, and we leave what we found. We're bringing it for the town. We're gonna go and make that happen, Jeffy. You, me, and Dan. All right. We go out there. We find a grocery store.
Yep.
We're in a said grocery store. We fight off about 68 zombies, right? But we end up making, all three of us make it out. We have grocery carts full of gear. We throw it into our RV. And we drive our asses back to our little establishment, our civilization. We get there. G is like, hey, man, great job, guys. Thank God you got some food. Everybody's getting hungry. This is so amazing. I got you this sour beer. I would be upset about that. You wouldn't be upset about that?
I would be thrilled. I would be like,
is it a Grim Lillet?
No. Is it a Grim Lillet that was made with sour cherries? Or was it maybe a fruit salad from Lucky Hair Brewing Co. up in a brewing company up in Hector and Watkins Glen? Because those two sours are, oof, mwah, I'm just going to say.
But here's the thing. It's not refreshing.
It is absolutely refreshing. Did you not listen to what the man said about the sour?
I won an award. I won an award. I was written in the New York Times, and I won an award for a dinner I did for Two Roads Brewing Company.
Hold on a second. Beers. Did you win an award?
I did win an award.
What? For pairing sours?
For pairing sours with a pop-up dinner inside of Two Roads Brewing Company.
Dude.
I did.
How come you don't ever give me any Two Roads beer when I come over then?
We've never been there. We can go to Two Roads. I know them well. They're good people.
I'm a little sad about it.
Remember, I made the phone call during our...
they were at Santa Cruz with us. They brought us some beer. We had some beers. that were fantastic from them.
True Rose Brewing Company. Almost as good as Lucky Hair. Love those guys, too.
Yeah.
By the way, tomorrow, Jeffy, I got to send you the copy. I have copy for our new commercial spot for Lucky Hair.
Oh, dude, I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, listen.
Can't wait. We're going to get the Good Brother beer going soon.
Oh,
we're
going to
be selling that worldwide soon. Good Brother beer.
Get yourself a Good Brother beer. It's going to be a delicious lager or an ale. We don't know yet, but it's going to be easy drinking, delicious.
Maybe a poundable pills. Maybe. Who knows?
And it's gluten-free. We can't wait.
It's going to be a gluten-free, delicious...
Poundable pills. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, big shout-out to the Wine Slinger, our good friend G. I love talking to him. He did a great job coming on the pro. He always does a great job. Like, it's just, dude, he's such a, I mean, out of all the guests.
GP Wineslinger.
Dude, he's so easy to talk to.
So what's the name of his stores?
Bottle Stop.
Bottle Stop. So he owns all the bottle stops around Connecticut. There's five of them, you said?
Five of them, yep. And they're big stores.
Dude, if you're in Connecticut and you're listening to this and you don't already go there, please get fucking be smart.
Damn,
go
right
there.
About it. Damn right about it. By the way, coming in right now from our good friend, Chef Mark Fakito, he just sent to us via the chat, sour beers and really pissed off donkeys. That's all he wrote. FYI, that's his brand new album that he's got coming out next week. It's called Sour Beers and Pissed Off Donkeys.
Dude, that sounds like a bluegrass album if I ever heard one.
There it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys taking the time to join us tonight. We appreciate all the love you're giving via reviews and, of course, checking out Elite Chef. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to have some of the guys on the program here very, very soon from Elite Chef.
Can't wait.
Lots to talk about, a lot of things to reveal. We're going to have a social media roundtable, not next week, but the following week before the finale airs. So we're looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big shout-out to our good friend, G. Patel, a.k.a. The Wine Slinger, for taking the time to join us tonight. Jeffy, we're an hour and a half into the program. Can you believe that?
I know, man. And I actually feel revitalized talking to you guys. I'm like I was pretty exhausted, but...
me too.
I always feel great, you know.
I'm getting some of that wine tomorrow. Brother.
Yeah. You live in Connecticut where all this good stuff happens.
Stuff here, right? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, brother. You've helped me realize that a lot.
Really?
Yeah, you really have. You've helped me realize how it's all good stuff.
Yeah, oh, dude, I get jealous. I get a little jelly about all the good stuff I see in Connecticut and, like, the opportunity and, like... I grew up in New England, upstate New York, a lot of my life, and so I love that. I just love the look of the area, you know. Yeah, so it's like
opportunity is definitely comes our way, but the opportunity comes because a lot of hard work and a lot of hustling. So that's what makes the opportunity happen. But
I'm gonna work hard. I'm gonna own a house in Connecticut, and I'm gonna own a house in the Hamptons. I already have a place in New York too. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna make it happen.
We're gonna call you three household Jeffy.
Nah, man, I'm just gonna do it for the people.
The Jeffy, you know, trifecta. Your name is Hat Trick Jeffy. That's it right
there. Hat Trick. I like that, man. I'm going for International Perazzi.
I like how you said international. That was pretty good.
International Perazzi.
That's right. There you go. Hey, thank you guys for checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Thursday. We appreciate you very, very much. We'll be back next week with another great guest, a great conversation for free right here, right in your ears. It's your boy Chef Plum and Chef Jeff. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. Love you, Jeffy. Talk to you soon.
Love you, buddy.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.